I'm at a run training session in Baulkham Hills in Sydney's northwest. It's a bit more structured than my normal run, usually a run around the block, but I'm hoping the coach tonight can improve my technique. We start off with a warm-up run, then move into some drills. There's some jogging on the spot before you have to break out into a sprint, as well as drills more focused on the proper movement of the foot and legs. Then a 5 kilometre time trial, something to improve on over the coming weeks.
All right, similar thing, but this time...
Enoch is the running coach for tonight.
My name's Enoch, and I look after all the running here at One Body.
So what do you look for in a good runner?
Look at their body positioning. So it doesn't matter what body shape or body type you are, everyone can run efficiently and economically, and it's just fitting it to their unique body shape.
Right. Yeah. So what sort of injuries do you commonly see among runners?
Definitely a lot of knee injuries and a lot of hip injuries as well. And they're usually just from overuse and just high impact from too much running with maybe the not like a correct technique or just poor posture.
And how do you fix it? What sort of techniques do you use?
So if we take it a step back, there's definitely a lot of strengthening work that we have to do. So we have to strengthen the right muscles for their running. And then in terms of technique, we really have to look at their body posture. So just make sure that they're not hunching over too much, that they're engaging the right muscles when they run, and that they're just striking the ground in an efficient way.
But what does it mean to run efficiently? Dr. Lee Wallace is a sports science lecturer at the University of Technology, Sydney. So what does a correct running technique look like?
It's a pretty hot topic, the running technique topic. There's a lot of things that our researchers in this field will agree on. Generally, the most important is running with correct cadence.
What's that?
Roughly around 180 sort of strikes per minute. So that your feet will come into contact with the ground 180 times. Equally as important to that would be landing with your the feet directly underneath your body. So the most common mistake people will make is to overstride, which tends to mean that in itself, you know, can be confusing for some, but it tends to mean that your foot will come into contact with the ground in front of your body rather than under your body. And in doing that, increases the force through your body.
People have different running styles, correct?
Yes.
How do you differentiate between a person's individual running style and one that isn't technically correct?
Sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes it's easier to see. There's a whole business of, you know, analysing running technique. I've heard of some, you know, really sort of simple ways of doing it. Like some people will say that, you know, if you're watching someone run towards you, you shouldn't see the soles of their feet. Because if you're seeing the soles of their feet, then they're lifting the front of their foot too high. Other people will look at, you know, get you on a treadmill and, you know, look at, do some video work and look at where, you know, your body is positioned compared to your foot contact time. Some people look at the wear pattern on the bottom of your shoes and ascertain where you're striking the ground and the way your foot's moving.
When we're talking about foot strike, there is the ongoing argument of whether forefoot, midfoot or the heel is the best way to strike. Have we got a consensus on this yet?
There's definitely no consensus. There is a consensus in that it's more important as to where your foot strikes in relation to your body rather than how your foot is actually striking. I mean, you can overstride and still be a midfoot striker, and you can stride correctly and be and run on your heel. So it tends to be that when your foot comes more underneath your body, you'll move to more of a mid to forefoot, but it's not always the case.
What about surfaces? Sand, grass, concrete, what does the most damage and what's the best for runners?
The surface really is secondary to the actual technique of the runner. In saying that, it's more likely that, you know, in general population, the technique of a runner is not going to be perfect. Therefore, softer surfaces would reduce the impact forces. However, that's not to say you're running on a hard surface, you're going to get injured or vice versa. I've actually heard the opposite as well, that a soft surface will increase whatever it is that you're doing. Like if you're, you know, overpronating, a soft surface will increase your overpronation. So surfaces, I would say softer surfaces, you're more likely to get less injuries, but that does not necessarily mean that's the case either.
We started off by saying that humans, we've evolved to run, it's natural to run. Is our 21st century running style different to what we would have seen a couple of hundred years ago?
There's a book that came out, Born to Run, a few years ago now. It started a big craze in minimalist running. It actually reads that the inclusion of cushioning systems through our heel essentially have changed our running technique to land more on our heels.
So that's in running shoes.
In running shoes. Yeah. I mean, in running shoes of the 70s and 80s, today's running shoes are probably evening out a little bit more, probably a little bit more variety in running shoes now to accommodate all kinds of different forms of running. But we started off in minimalist shoes, then we went to heavily cushioned shoes, and particularly in the rear foot, and now we're kind of coming full circle back to more minimalist shoes. So running shoes have got different heel drops in them. So you've got, like, what is a minimalist shoe versus what is a shoe that's heavily cushioned. Traditional running shoes have got 12 to 14 mil drop, which means, so when you read, like, about a running shoe, and it'll have this term, 12 mil drop, it's referring to the difference in height between the heel and the toes. So, if the heel's sitting 22 mils off the ground and the toe is sitting 10 mil off the ground, then it's a 12 mil drop between them both. So the argument is, how does a running shoe promote the way you run? And that's why the minimalist shoe craze has come in the first place. So a more minimalist shoe with a less of a heel drop, so 0 to 4 mil drop between the back and front of the shoe, is said to promote more midfoot and forefoot running technique.
So more quote, natural running style.
More natural running style, yeah. Using your arch as the shock absorber. So when you think about your body, your heel itself is not a good shock absorber. Your heel essentially is a fatty pad on the end of a bone, whereas your arch, containing many joints, many small bones, the actual arch itself works as a spring to reduce forces and propel yourself forward. So the thought is, landing further forward on your foot would reduce impact forces and also increase propulsion.
So the shoes with the big heel drop, it's kind of making runners hit the ground heel first.
Yeah, it doesn't...
From the weight of the shoe, or...?
It doesn't make you hit the ground first, but if you did hit the ground with your heel, it'd be less noticed, because the cushioning will compensate for the... You won't feel the thud because you've got the cushioning
of
the shoe there.
So it's kind of like a bit of a spring.
It'll disguise the impact forces. So there's one thought that, with a more of a heel, more cushion in the heel, because you can run this way and you potentially could be overstriding, it's less noticeable. Therefore, you'll be disguising your poor technique, right? So then we go the other way and go, well, let's put a more minimalist shoe on. Let's use our feet as a natural shock absorber, as they've been designed to do. However, because your muscles in the lower legs mightn't be as developed around your feet, you might, your Achilles, your calves have been shortened from everyday wear and use, or walking around in heels. All of a sudden, you put this minimalist shoe on, your foot's subject to more loading force than it's used to, and you become injured that way. So it seems like you can be injured in both ways quite easily.
There is, I've heard the argument before that... It's not technique, it's not surface, it's the fact that you've changed shoes that causes injury.
That could be true as well. Like anything, any change, some people are like, I always talk to them as like Mack trucks versus a Ferrari, and it's got nothing to do with how you look or how you run. Some people are resilient to change and some people are not. You've got some people, just the slightest tweak of anything and bang, they'll get injured. And other people change all day long, whatever shoes, doesn't matter, they'll just run in whatever. So it's an interesting one as well.
What about the future of running science and running research? Where do you see that heading?
I mean, they've still got to answer the debate, really. Like, it's the news forums wouldn't be running so hot if we had all the answers on minimalist first, rear foot. There's definitely still more research there. More research without shoe companies involved. That's another area of massive debate for people, is like, who's funding half of these research projects. But yeah, still the debate of what's better, forefoot, midfoot, rear foot. But I think we're satisfied that where the foot should land underneath the body, I think we're satisfied with that.
With all that in mind, if you are a runner looking to improve your technique, Enoch says you should head to your local run club.
So most of your local running clubs should provide you with a fair bit of information to help you. So a lot of the athletics clubs do a lot of work with that. I know New South Wales Athletics help a lot in terms of their running development. But apart from that, yeah, it is true. It is quite hard to find stuff out there. And I think to find something that suits you personally as well is quite tough.